Welcome to About Regional, a new place for the stories of southeast New South Wales. My name's Ian Campbell. About Regional content is supported by members. So thank you to Tupai Software in the Bega Valley, the Crossing Land Education Trust at Bermagui, Sam Bright and Loz Hunt, Amanda Fowler and Kylie Dummer, to name a few. You'll find more info about membership on the About Regional website, along with loads of other stories from the Bega Valley, Yurrabadella and Snowy Monaro. Now, this podcast features an extraordinary group of people who've just started meeting together to support each other through challenges and troubles that to most would seem impossible. This group of a dozen or so grandparents are raising their grandchildren, and in some cases, they're raising their great-grandchildren as well. The parents of these kids have deserted them for a range of reasons, and these grandparents, the parents of the parents, are the safety net. And just when you think the stories and struggles that they share couldn't get any worse, they do. It's Playability in Bega who've brought these families together. Playability provide early intervention services for families who have young children with a disability or learning difficulty. You're about to meet people that carry an interesting mix of emotions. Sadness and despair mixed with joy, humour and love. And what stood out to me as I listened to these stories is that these people walk among us, carrying the most heartbreaking experiences, stories that have gone unheard from people who haven't been recognised or supported. Until now. Annette, you're here with your partner, Alan. Tell us your situation.
Well, we cared for the grandchildren most of their lives and helped put food on the table and clothe them because of dysfunctional parents. We had them 21 times that my daughter had left her husband, and then we had most of them living at our place most of the time. Two stayed with us for 5 years. I had to do the schooling. I had to get the schools to get them into special care. She ended up doing her Year 10 certificate through me and
through TAFE
because the high school... She wasn't in a mainstream and she was in a support class, but she couldn't recognise that. She went into Air Force Cadets. She learned how to fly. She was a most outstanding recruit of the year. She's done her year three certificate, her Year 10 certificate, Certificate 3 for childcare, her diploma, and now she's starting to do her early childhood teaching. And she's come a long way because she's had to work twice as hard as a normal person. Now, her sister, who had came to us, would disappear all the time and abandon her baby. So when he was 7 months old, we went to the family law court through the consent of she knew that...
And community health...
Said that we were the right people in the right environment. So it went on from there, and ever since he was 7 months old, we've had custody. Because of our ages, it's to be reviewed once he's six. And unfortunately, I really love and care for my granddaughter, and I still do, but she's got herself into police problems. She's got been charged for a couple of things, and that she's got us to appear in court. I had to send her back home to her mother in February, and no, my daughter has done nothing for her since she's been there and needs help again to be reassessed, to go on a care plan and to go and get counselling. It's our priority.
He's just been assessed with autism level one.
Yeah.
Because they can't do that till he's four. He's just turned four.
Yeah. And... we continued with the program, and now that we've come across Playability, which I'm more than blessed about this organisation, he is registered with the NDIS up the road here, and but that will take a little while. And meeting other grandparents who we know there's hundreds of grandparents, thousands of grandparents out there who are dealing with the same problem, whose children have the same issues, mental health issues, who cannot, are unable to care for their children. And grandparents then step in because we do not want our children in foster care, our families.
Michelle, this is a story that you can relate to, I think. Yes. Tell us of your situation. Give us the thumbnail sketch of your life.
My daughter has borderline personality disorder, so they can't actually love anyone or have an attachment to anyone. They use people to get what they need. So our daughter got pregnant and had her first child, and they lived with us the whole time. And then the second one came along. The partner was there, lived with us as well. They lived with us for a couple of years, and then they moved into their own place, and then, lo and behold, another one came along. During this time, Dad was an alcoholic. He was a drug addict too. In the end, my daughter bought him ice, and the family broke apart because he was the one that took care of the family, did all the cooking, cleaning, everything, because my daughter did nothing. Once he got sent to jail, my daughter wouldn't take care of the children. The house was full of dog feces. The clothes were dirty. The house was filthy. We had facts. I had to report her to facts. There'd been a lot of reports given to facts. And then I went there one day and she just told me to take the two boys. She was still breastfeeding my granddaughter. And then Fax stepped in and we got the kids, and then a week later we got our granddaughter. We weren't allowed much access to our granddaughter when she was living with her partner. So when we got our granddaughter, she screamed for 7 weeks because she didn't really know us and she didn't know what was going on because she was only two. So they were 2, 4 and 6. It was very traumatic. It was very hard. I'd only just had open heart surgery and had lots of complications, so I wasn't very well. Fax did an amazing job. They tried to get all the help they could for her mental illness, and gave her lots of opportunities to help herself to keep the kids, even if it was only part-time and we had them part-time, but that she didn't want that because you can't get anyone to have help if they don't want it now, and she's quite happy living in her little head with her fantasies. Then she had people living at the house with her before we got the kids, and they were bathing the children and stuff like that. So we had to have one of our grandkids checked for sexual transmitted diseases, which is really hard. Mm. And then because you don't know what people are doing to them when they're in the bath, no. And she didn't care, and they're strangers, so you don't know what they're doing. Thankfully, all the kids are okay. We've had to have the kids in with a psychologist, because they've gone through periods where they've been really angry and sad what their parents have done, and trying to deal with it. We were very open with our kids, talking about our feelings, and we've always told them when we went to court with facts what was happening and what the judge was saying, so the kids understood what was going on. So we had to be very open with the children about that. Facts did everything they could for us. We didn't have to worry about anything. We're now their permanent guardians until they're 18. And we've still got one senior psychologist now, but we've had him 3 years now. My husband's my carer, and he takes care of all of us. So he's had to retire as well from work, which
What's your husband's name?
Kevin. Mm-hmm. He's had to retire early, so it's been really hard for him as well to retire early because, you know, that's not what happens. But there's so many of us out here now that there's so many grandparents raising grandkids. It's the new norm now. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Michelle, I'm in awe of what you and Kevin have had to cope with over these years, and I'm really grateful you're both still here. And yeah. I'm happy for your grandkids that you're both still here.
Grandkids. Mm. Like, they're coping really well, but we're doing stuff that we haven't done for 30 years, like going camping, going kayaking, you know, like, it's hilarious seeing me climbing in and out of a kayak. I tell you, it's like rolling a seal out of a kayak, but, you know, to put it out there, I'm morbidly obese. But, you know, they've given us life too. Mm-hmm. You know, they get us up every morning and they're a treasure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're doing really well. They do karate. They're just exceptional. They're doing really well.
Kevin, let's hear from you. Michelle sort of, I guess, outlined the challenges you guys have had to get around. But clearly there's joy and there's love in your life through this new role that you're playing in your later years.
We love the kids and what they do for us. Mm-hmm. But there is the other side too. But mm-hmm. I really enjoy watching them get further ahead in their karate and that sort of stuff, because they do really try just for us. The washing's the hardest part.
The folding out.
It's just incredible how many loads of washing you've got to do.
I know all about it.
But we do tell them their only job for us is to do well at school. They go to school to learn not to be naughty, and they do follow that, and they do really well at school for that. And they try really hard at their karate, and they try really hard for just us. But our big job is we can't be just grandparents and just have all the fun bits. We've got to do all the hard stuff as well.
And there needs to be more done about it. The grandparents out there need more support. More support in rearing the grandchildren. Whether you've set up your own super funds or whether you chose not to be on a pension, that child shouldn't be jeopardised because we have saved. So because we have saved, we've not got a cent for in caring for him. But we're going through the process now of maybe getting some support.
So some sort of child benefit payment, the same way parents might get?
If it's only a healthcare card, or we're learning how to help him.
But the cost of paediatrician, bring
that into it? The paediatrician, we've got to pay $360 to see a paediatrician.
Alicia, tell us your story. What brings you to a group like this?
Well, my daughter, she's 20 now, but 16 she had my granddaughter that I've had since 2 days. Yeah, but my daughter's had mental health issues since she was 4, so I've been dealing with her for 16 years. Very isolated myself prior to even having the grandchild. My daughter had a lot of jealousy issues. She's got borderline personality disorder. She's got bipolar. So she self-harms, she rips her eyebrows out, her hair, she'll bash her head on the wall till she knocks herself out. And this started really bad when she was about 8 years of age, got to the worst point there, where we couldn't have knives in the house, she'd cut anything, no ornaments. I used to have to sleep with locks on my door because I'd wake up with a knife at my throat, and she'd have no recognition the next day of any of these actions. So that's what I dealt with as just the child. And then once she had a child, the escalation got worse. So she couldn't handle the crying of the baby. That had actually set her off, so she'd get into a violent rage when the baby cried. So I ended up moving her actually into a house next door so she could have her space, because I'm the worst person in the world. So, and then hoping that over time we could work with her and get her medication and she might be able to actually have time with the child. But as they get older, and like we've said here, once they turn 18, we don't have any rights as a parent, even though they're under all these problems. We can't make them take medication. We can't put them into hospital. The hospitals won't take them unless they walk in on their own accord. So in the end, we learn to ring ambulances, because the ambulance are the only one can help us when they're having a massive breakdown and smashing the house and hurting themselves and trying to hurt us. And so, your resources get very drained over time. And, I've had issues with the part with docs where they're going about the human rights things. I mean, my daughter's 20, so how many babies am I going to end up raising by the time she's 30? She's just had another one. It's in hospital now still, apparently, in Queensland. It's 3 weeks old. I still don't know whether I'm getting the child, what's happening. So at the moment, my whole life's on edge that, you know, do I go and get bottles? Do I prepare again for another baby? Don't I prepare for another baby?
What's the solution in your mind? What can government do to help you?
I think the rod. I mean, we need to start looking out for the rights of the children plus the rights of the grandparents. I mean, yes, these kids have rights too, but mentally they can't look after themselves. They are in a total different thing. My daughter can't even brush her own teeth. I mean, that's just one example, let alone trying to run a household. I mean, the house is atrocious. I'd go and spend 2 or 3 days cleaning the house for her. I'd come back within 5 hours, you'd never even known I'd be there. Like, I'd look and just think, how could this happen in 5 hours? Like, this is unbelievable. So their mental stability is not there for themselves, but they're not quite enough to be put away somewhere for permanent help. And they're very smart, so they can actually tell the workers. Like, I had a long time before anyone could actually see what my child was doing. She'd actually have them conned that I was the one that was actually causing all these issues, and I'm the one that's crazy, and Mum doesn't know what she's on about. Again, you know, really, I think you need to talk to my mum. And it was only that we actually had a breakdown in front of one of the mental health workers that we finally got someone to recognise that we were having these issues. So, it's lovely to finally meet some people here today that are going through the same things. And I mean, we go through major things. We're mourning for our child. I mean, as a mother, we've got these kids we can't help. There's nothing we can do. You get to the point where you can't have these children in your life anymore. They're destroying your life. But I was to the point where I was having fits. I mean, I'm 43 and I was having fits, and the doctor said, you're going to be dead in 6 months, with the stress of what she was bringing into my life. And I just couldn't help her anymore. So, so we go through huge problems on our bodies. I mean, losing hair. I mean, I was losing hair from stress. I mean, it was like I had cancer. It was just sheeting out of me, you know. And and then you've got to basically turn around and say no. And then now you've got these beautiful little kids that we're raising. And, I mean, they are amazing kids, because I don't know if it's whether what they've been through, or because we've already raised kids, we don't let them get away with anything. I don't know. We've been there, done that. So we know what to do from the first time now. But
it is a different approach.
But that's it too. And then not being the grandmother. I know myself, my first granddaughter, I was so excited.
Yeah.
But I can't be the grandma. Mm. I mean, I can't go and spoil her and take her home and do all these lovely things and buy her, because I've got to do that tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So.
Jan, we haven't heard from you yet. Can you help us understand that funny mix of feelings? You know, you're the mother, the grandmother, you're coping with all these different things. Do you mind sharing your story and what brings you to a group like this?
Well, I was actually really excited when I heard about this, because I've been a grandparent caring for grandchildren for 16 years. My first two grandchildren, my daughter's had 9 children, and she only has one with her. She, the first one was 3.5 years old, and the baby was 4 weeks old when they came to live with us. And then a year and a half ago, I got 5 more of those children. So the eldest one's now in Goulburn doing a great job, and she's 21. And so we have 6 children at home. One of them has autism, one of them's got intellectual disabilities, and one's in the process of being diagnosed. The others are all torn apart because they can't live with their mother or their father anymore. They don't understand. Between mental health, alcohol and drugs, it's just so hard for the kids to understand. So, our life is really turned upside down. You have to give up work, which you enjoy. You become isolated. You talk to people down the street. You don't know that they're going through anything the same is what you're going through. Your friends are doing things that they want to be doing, which you should be doing, and you're not doing that anymore. So it's a whole roll of emotions, like, what did you do wrong? You know, is it your fault? Now you're rearing kids, and not only are you rearing kids at an older age, you're actually rearing kids with problems as well. I have other grandchildren who it's really hard for me to spoil them in front of the grandchildren that I'm rearing, because then I feel like they're missing out, so everybody misses out. So that makes it really hard. So I have to wait until I don't have the grandchildren that are at home with me to spoil the other grandchildren. So that makes it really hard. We don't get enough respite support because we're old. We need it. We get a lot of joy, like Michelle and that. We go camping and things like that. The kids are in Scouts and they actually really like that. And we've met some really beautiful people through it. But they still don't understand what you're going through. So this group is just wonderful.
One thing I want to sort of mention too is, because we're the grandparents, we don't have grandparents to say, here, I've got to go to an appointment and I can't take the child. So, I mean, there's these things that people don't even think of.
We are the last line.
Yeah, because we are the grandparents. Line. We're the ones that should be doing this for our children. Oh, Mum, can you watch so-and-so for me, because I've got an appointment, I can't take Bub with me. Well, we don't have that too. So I find For myself, because I don't have family here either, which makes it very hard, which, I mean, a lot of us have been isolated from our family, which is quite amazing to happen. You think you'd have a little bit more support. But, yeah, just trying to organise appointments sometimes really hard. Just those things that you can't take the kids to a doctor's appointment or something that is very personal, the children can't come along to, can be very, very hard, especially when they're not in that school age too. So,
but also too, like, people say, oh, when you get the kids, we'll help you out so you're not, you don't wear yourself out and stuff like that. And we got the kids and we're going along, we're doing everything that we possibly can, but everyone walked away. Nobody wanted to know the kids, nobody wanted to know us. So then we were with our family and all my friends have walked away, so I've got no friends now because we're raising grandkids.
Nobody knows how to cope with you, is that, or your lifestyle,
well,
is that it?
I don't want little kids because we're supposed to be at that age, you know, where we can just go to lunch or we can go to the movies or we can just hang out or have a dinner party or, you know, just be kid-free, but can't now because we're raising little kids, so they don't want that, so they walk away. And they're all saying, oh, I want to be a grandma, but then you see you've been a grandma. But they don't want that now. They want their own. They don't want other people's kids.
Hi, I'm Karen Thomas. I'm an early intervention specialist teacher at Playability. Through working with children with additional needs, I came across a grandmother raising her granddaughter, and listening to her talk got me mulling over things, and I sort of said in conversation to her, it must be really difficult. It must be really difficult when you go to playgroup or preschool. And she said, actually, it is. She said, I've got nothing in common with anyone. So I was thinking about it, and then Vanessa had a similar idea, and we got together and we decided to try and get a support group together.
Vanessa, what's been your reaction to these stories? I've just heard these stories for the first time, and holy moly, what's been your response, your reaction to all this?
I just think when you look at the whole picture of a grandparent raising their grandchild, once you start unpacking these stories, it brings up every aspect that you've probably already dealt with along the way in your journey through life, mm-hmm. and suddenly you are facing all of it again mm-hmm. in a tight span. Mm-hmm. They're big stories, mm-hmm. and I just think bringing people together to share those stories helps them to understand that they're not on their own dealing mm-hmm. with it. It helps the children who are in the space to understand that other children live with their grandparents, mm-hmm. and that is potentially okay as well, mm-hmm. and for them to understand that because they're seeing something different in the school environment as well. So I just, yeah, I mean, it's, they're big stories.
Mm-hmm. And I think too also it's really important for them to be able to speak in a non-judgmental mm-hmm. and safe environment because their stories are very similar, often involves mental health issues mm-hmm. with their children or substance abuse. And there's a lot of, as Vanessa had just said, there's a lot of emotional turmoil going on with these grandparents. Some of them blame themselves. What have I done wrong with my child? Mm-hmm. So they've got all that emotional attachment to their own child. But then they've also got that emotional attachment. They want the best for their grandchildren mm-hmm. as well.
That act of bringing people together and sharing stories, I got a real sense that that is beneficial today, that people really get strength and comfort and perhaps, I don't know if joy is the right word, but there was some energy about being able to share your story there today. But how on earth does society, government, an organisation like Playability try and unpick all the different issues? Can it be done?
They're big words. They're big words. I'm not sure if that can be done, but at least this is a start. Mm-hmm. It's a start. We have had offers from private businesses, law firms and ex-teachers, community health, mental health, who have volunteered their time to come and speak with these grandparents. So the community wants this to happen. Mm-hmm. From all different walks mm-hmm. of life. I think it's really important to note that in feeling isolated, these people have lost their own friends their age. Mm-hmm. Because people, this is what I'm hearing, people don't want to hang around with them mm-hmm. because they've got little children and these other people. They're tired of that. They don't want to be doing that. So a lot of loneliness was involved. They haven't got many friends. We had a few tears last week, didn't we? Because one lady had said that she's lost all her friends because she said, they don't want us coming along. We've got three kids. I just think of one that came today. She's got six children. Mm-hmm. She's raising six children, for goodness sakes. Mm-hmm.
Karen Thomas and Vanessa Bragg from Playability in Bega, supporting an extraordinary bunch of people in the local community. The issues raised here are something we'll come back to. Thanks for tuning in. Your interest adds weight and momentum to the stories you've just heard. Your feedback and ideas are always really welcome. You'll find my contact details on the About Regional website and Facebook page. About Regional, a new place for the stories of Southeast New South Wales. I'm Ian Campbell. See you out and about.